Our verse for this month as a church has been Luke chapter 1, verse 37. And that, of course, says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." This time of the year, there's all kinds of stories and different things about miracles or special things that take place at Christmas time. Stories, TV shows and movies portray stories of magical events, miraculous events. It seems like this time of the year, more than any other, that's kind of the focus of what is taking place. And whether it's Scrooge getting to see his life, what it could have been and what it's turning out to be, and a miraculous thing, and all of a sudden he can fix some of the wrongs and make things right. Whether it be that or whether it be a story of a man dressed in red suit with white trim going around and in one night being able to deliver gifts to every home in all the world and traveling by reindeer and sleigh and so on, and sliding down chimneys and yet keeping his suit clean. All these things that are told at this time of the year, all these stories are told at this time of the year. And there's, of course, many different TV shows and movies and all kinds of things showing miraculous meetings that spur romances that turn into marriage, or, you know, romances are rekindled that had been forgotten. And it's just this magical time of the year that all these things are taking place, and all these different things, because of the quote-unquote magic of the season, is what is often said to be the case. Some of the stories, obviously, are fables. Some of them are true. And it's interesting, of course, one of them that's true that always strikes me as being an amazing thing that did happen at this time of the year, at Christmas time, is the ceasefire between the German and the Allied forces in 1914. On Christmas Eve, it said that the German soldiers were dug down deep in their trenches, as were the Allied soldiers were dug down deep in their trenches, and the battle was raging. I believe it was near Flanders Fields. And the battle was raging, and the German soldiers started to get a piece of pine trees perhaps, with candles in them, and set them up on the edge of the trench, and started to sing Christmas carols. And I guess some of them made signs as best they could. Many of them actually had worked in England, and so knew enough English to make signs that say, you don't shoot, we don't shoot, just very crude statements of, basically wanting a ceasefire. And sure enough, it turned out that for that evening, I believe Christmas evening and Christmas Day, and into Boxing Day, there was no fighting on a certain part of the Western Front. That's a miracle, isn't it? Two enemy armies fighting one another, and it ceasefired, and it is a true story of what exactly took place for a day and a half or so. And then, of course, the battle went on. But in that time frame, they'd had opportunity to wish each other Merry Christmas, to bury their casualties, and all those different things that took place. And so there are definitely some miracles of Christmas. But may I say to you tonight that the greatest miracle happened some 2,000 years ago, as recorded in the Scripture, and it's a true story. It's the most miraculous thing that ever could take place, and that's what I'd like us to consider just for a few minutes this evening. And really three things that are recorded in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 that are miraculous events, miraculous stories, and the final two, of course, being very important for us to consider. The first one, though, is the miracle of John the Baptist's birth. We didn't really mention it in great detail, but this morning we talked about it a little bit. When God had promised that the Messiah would be born, he also said there would be one who would come before the Messiah to prepare the way for him. And he would prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. That one who is to prepare the way, we have come to know him as John the Baptist. And his life is recorded a little bit in the Gospels, in Luke and in John and Matthew, just little bits and pieces of his life, and Mark, of course, as well. But he came by way of a miraculous birth. His parents were past the age of bearing children. And his father was a priest in the temple, and evidently had prayed that they would be able to have a child. And those prayers seemed to have gone unheard and unnoticed by God. But the Bible says one day an angel, Gabriel, stood beside Zacharias as he served in the temple and said, "Zacharias, your prayers have been heard, and your wife is going to have a baby. And you're going to call that baby John. Zacharias was in disbelief, of course, as probably any of us would be, considering it seemed like years had gone by and it was too late for those things to take place in his life. And so Zacharias said, "What will be the sign that this is going to take place?" And the angel said, "You will be dumb," in other words, not able to speak, "until after the child is born." And from that moment, Zacharias was not able to speak. And he walked out from his service in the temple. The people had been waiting and praying. He'd been lighting the incense and so on. They were waiting, and he came out, and all he could do was signal with his hands. He could not speak. He went home and tried to explain to Elizabeth that they were going to have a child. And in time came, yes, there was a child. It began to be evident that Elizabeth was pregnant, and she hid herself for 5 months. It was a miracle. It was an impossible situation, and yet there was a child that was born as a result of that, a divine intervention, a miracle that really began what we would say is the miracles of the Christmas story. The second one, of course, is in Luke chapter 1, and we looked at it much this morning and into chapter 2 as we've read the verses this evening on the screen, and that's the miracle of the Savior's birth. We said it this morning that it was a miraculous birth because the Bible said it was a virgin that would conceive and bear a child. That's absolutely impossible, isn't it? Well, it is, except for when God is involved, and God was involved, and it was the birth of His Son into the world, and so it was made possible by God. Gabriel told Mary that it was possible because the Holy Ghost would overshadow her, and because there's nothing too hard for God, there's nothing impossible with God. We mentioned it a few minutes ago, but His birth in Bethlehem was a miraculous thing. Why? Because as I said at that point, Mary lived in Nazareth of Galilee, up in the northern part of Israel, and it was a journey down that they wouldn't make. They didn't travel around like we travel around. We think nothing. Some people commute to Toronto every day. Some of us, when we have to go, say, "Oh, do I really have to go?" But, you know, we don't think too much of traveling for an hour or so, and that's where we could do 60 or 70 miles an hour or so. And they had to travel that 68, 69 miles, and it would seem like, well, that's impossible. Why would God choose somebody from there to have a baby born in Bethlehem? But Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2 had said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So God used something that, as I said, we all hate, a taxation. A census in preparation for taxation, that everyone had to go to the country of their origin or the city of their origin, and Joseph, being of the house and lineage of David, had to go to the city of David, Bethlehem. And while they were there, as we read a few minutes ago, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem, just as God had said would be the case, a miracle. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Another miracle of the Savior's birth is that God was made flesh. God is God. He is not bound by time. He is not bound by space as we are. Yet we call the fact that Jesus came to be born in the flesh the incarnation. God in the flesh. Impossible, isn't it? How could God confine Himself to a body? How could God become a man? But Gabriel had told Mary that child that would be born would be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. And that's exactly what happened. For John tells us in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men." Verse 14 goes on to say, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And John, the author, the penman of those words, said, "We beheld God in the flesh." A miracle. How could it possibly be? But yes, it was necessary because the Bible tells us that he would need to take on the form of man in order to destroy him that had the power of death, even the devil, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. And so an impossible thing was made possible. It was a miracle. The last thing I'd like us to think about this evening as being a miracle is the fact that sinners can be reconciled with a holy God. See, that's impossible. When sin entered into the world, back in the Garden of Eden, man's fellowship with God was broken, and man became at enmity with God. Man said, I'll do my own thing. And God said, this is the way I want you to walk in. And man said, no, I don't want that. We'll do what we want to do. And that's the story of mankind, isn't it, down through history, is that man says, I'll choose to go my own way. I'll choose to do my own thing. And so we say, how can those two be reconciled? God, who is righteous and true and holy, how can he be reconciled? How can there be reconciliation between one who is bent on going his own way and who's living in sin, exactly the opposite of what God is? How can there be a resolution to that? Way back in the book of Job, which is thought to be the oldest book as far as written, Job 9 verse 2 says this. Says, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? Job says it's impossible that man can be just with God because man is sinful and God is holy. Man's best falls a long way short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We say, but I'm pretty good. I clean up pretty good. Well, Isaiah 64, 6 says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now they may seem good to us, and hey, I'm not saying we shouldn't do good things or try and be good people, but God's standard is perfection. And we may get, you know, part way up, but we fall short. So how can we be reconciled to God? It seemed like it would be impossible, but that's where God stepped in again. That babe in Bethlehem, that was God in the flesh, as we said, and he came for a purpose. He came to reconcile man with God. And Romans 5 says this in verses 9 and 10, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. How will we reconcile to God? How is that possible? By the death of his son. That's why Jesus came, to reconcile man and God. It's a miracle. Miracle of Christmas, we might well say. The greatest miracle of Christmas is that God, who did the impossible in becoming man, did so in order to do the impossible in reconciling man with God. The miracle of Christmas was done for you. The miracle of Christmas was done for me. The miracle of Christmas is available for everybody. See, though many of those stories that are fictional stories of miracles at Christmas or man fantasy ideas of, well, this could happen and this could happen and this could happen, it's usually just a couple people that happens to or a few people that happens to. But the miracle that the Bible records that is true was done for everybody. Nobody needs to be left out of it. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who's included in the world? You and me, people that are driving by, people that live close by here, people in Canada and the other, from one end of Canada to the other, people way down to the South Pole. I don't think anyone lives in the South Pole itself, but all the way down, all the way up to north, and all the way around the world. God's love is for everybody, and the miracle that took place when Jesus became flesh was done for everybody so that everyone could have the opportunity to be born again and have eternal life, not because they were good enough, not because they deserved it, but because Jesus Christ became flesh and dwelt among us and died upon a cross. And he said, if you believe in me, if you believe what I've done for you, you can have my gift of eternal life. Thank God for the real miracles of Christmas. Let's pray together.